Blog Talk Radio.
Lillahi Rabbil Alameen. Nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi azza wa jal. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lahu. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد أيها المسلمون, praise be to Allah, the guardian of Allah, the cherisher, the sustainer of all the world. We ask his assistance, his forgiveness for our faults, our sins. We put our trust in him. I bear witness that nothing is worthy of worship except the one God alone. And I will bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. Peace and the blessings be upon Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, the last of the messengers, upon his descendants, his companions, the righteous, all be peace, and upon us be peace. Ameen. Most High says in his book, the Quran, Ya Ahla al-Kitabi, la taghlu fi dinikum, wa la taqulu ala Allahi illa al-haq. Innama al-Masihu Isa ibn Maryam Rasulullahi wa kalimatu. ألقاها إلى مريم وروح منه فآمنوا بالله ورسله ولا تقولوا ثلاثة انتهوا خيرا لكم إنما الله إله واحد سبحانه أن يكون له ولد له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وكفى بالله وكيلا. All people of the book, do not make excess in your religion, saying of God, and say, pardon me, of God, only the truth. For surely, Jesus, the Christ, Son of Mary, is only a messenger of God. And his word that he sent to Mary, and a spirit from himself. Therefore, believe in God and believe in his messengers. And do not say three. Cease this. It will be better for you. For surely God is one God only. Highly glorified is he above having a son. For him is whatever is in the skies, the heavens, and whatever is in the earth.
And God is sufficient for regulating affairs. And God speaks the truth. God again gives in the Quran his words, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say, God, he is only one. For Muslims, there is the concept of unity, oneness, the purity of worship. Which are all tied together in that misconception regarding the unity of God's creation and his oneness leads to corruption. Confusion and corruption. Whereas respect for the oneness of God and for the unity of his creation leads to peace and purity. One God, one creation. Again, Allah Most High says to Prophet Muhammad, in the words, in his words, in his holy book, the Quran, قُلْ أَنَا بَشَّرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Say, I am only a mortal human being like you. There is a unity of creation and a unity of the human creatures, our human family. We are one human family according to the teachings of the Quran, God, that is, and according to the teachings of his messenger, his last messenger, Muhammad, peace and blessing be on him. The Prophet says, do not exceed bounds in praising me, as the Christians did in praising Jesus, son of Mary, by calling him God and the Son of God. I am only Allah's servant. Therefore, call me Allah's servant and messenger. So we have it plain in the Quran, the book of God, very clearly, that God says to Muhammad, you are a mortal human being, mortal, flesh and blood, like all other human beings. Your make creation is no different from theirs. In the sense of the capacity of the creature. Prophet Muhammad's capacity was human capacity, and that's all. Our capacity is human capacity, and that's all. In realizing the fullness of his human capacity, he became the excellent model for all human beings, the last messenger of God. Some mystics, in the language of mysticism, say the messenger is also God. Some go even further to say that the saints can become God. But we are only interested in knowing what Allah says to Muslims in the book that is the authority for Muslims, the Quran, and in what the Prophet taught us of that Quran himself and his mission. That's what we're interested in. And Allah says in his book, the Prophet Muhammad is a mortal human being like every other mortal human being, a servant of God, no God. And Prophet Muhammad, in his own words, he says, do not exceed bounds in praising me as the Christians in praising Jesus, Son of Mary, by calling him God and the Son of God. So here the Prophet made it clear he's neither God nor the Son of God. And we note in Quran, Jesus is never referred to by the names the gospel uses, the so-called gospel uses, such as Son of God and Son of Man. Jesus is not called Son of God. He's not called Son of Man in the Quran. He's called Son of Mary. Peace be upon him. He's called Son of Mary. And his creation is likened to the creation of Adam. God says his likeness is that of Adam. And God created him from the dust. The prophet says, I am only Allah's servant. Therefore call me Allah's servant and messenger. Peace be upon the Prophet. As for the community of Muslims, God calls our attention to the community of Muslims, the unity of the community itself. He says, Antum khayra ummatan, you are the best community, raised up for the good of all people, are brought out for the good of all people. And again, God says, هَذِهِ أُمَّةٌ أُمَّةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونَ. This, your community, is one community, and I am your Lord, therefore worship only me. This, your community, is one community. The Muslims are to remain one united community. But if they break the unity, that powerful concept of oneness in our religion, if that's broken, then the ummah, the community, is also split. And there will be those who follow something other than tawheed, oneness and unity. And they will be identifying themselves as Muslims of the Ummah, but actually by their own thinking, they will be out of the Ummah, out of the community of Muslims. For we know that, strictly speaking, the community of Muslims is one united community, and that unity is based upon the concept of Tawheed, one God, one creator, one Lord, one creation, one human being, not two different kinds of humans, angels and men, only human beings, or divine beings and non-divine, only human beings, one human being, one human family, and one Islamic community. God says, O people of the book, do not be guilty of excess in your religion. And do not say of God anything except the truth. Would God say in the Quran of those people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, do not say of God anything except the truth? If they had only been saying the truth, they must have been saying something false. And God called them to say only the truth. What is the false thing that they say? It is given in the same verse. Surely Christ Jesus, Son of Mary, is only a messenger of God. So the lie is that he's more than a messenger of God. The lie is that they say he's God and Son of God. That's a lie. And God says that he is a word, that he sent to Mary. God sent the word to Mary. So Jesus is obviously the personification of the message, the word of God. Personification means he acts that out. He himself is acting out the role of the word of God among the people or in the land. And a spirit from himself. Does this make Jesus special because God says he is a spirit from himself? He says, and he have given from himself to every creature of his spirit. Not just Jesus, to every creature. Then God says, therefore believe in God and in his messengers. This is bringing Jesus into the common concept of messenger of God with every other messenger. Muhammad, the last, and all before him, peace be upon them. And do not say three. So Muslims, we can't be patient. We can't tolerate this thing, saying God is three gods. While we want peace and peaceful coexistence and cooperation as much as possible with church people, with Christian people, we have to let them know that what you say about God when you say God is three is abomination. It is an outrage. It's not a simple matter for us to pass over. And we, with the language of the Quran and with the teachings of the Prophet, we should be wise as the Quran has taught us and as the Prophet has demonstrated in his life for us. We should be wise and bring these things to their attention in an intelligent way. Not to do it in a spirit of hostility, spirit of hatred, or spirit of supremacy, superiority over them. No, do it in the spirit of humankindness. A human being loving for another human being what is best for him. Do it in that spirit. Using the language of God in the Quran and the great examples of Prophet Muhammad, peace and the blessings be upon him. Therefore believe in God and believe in his messengers. And do not say three. Cease doing this. It will be better for you. For surely God is only one God. Highly glorified is he above having a son. For him is whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. And it is enough for God. He is the regulator of affairs. He is enough to regulate affairs. God is enough to regulate affairs. You know, what is this referring to now? When you read the so-called true reports of Jesus in the gospel, you get the feeling that God is deficient, that God is without support, that he's somehow handicapped, that he's put at a disadvantage, and he can't reach the matter directly himself. So he has to have a second God to assist him. It makes God weak. The way God is presented in the gospel presents him weakly and makes him weak. So the verse concludes with this, that God is sufficient. He is enough to regulate affairs. He doesn't have to have a son to take care of sin on earth. He's been regulating affairs for the millions and millions generations before Jesus. He was regulating affairs. And not only for the earth, he regulated affairs for the heavens as well. Heaven, both heaven and earth. And Allah tells us in the Quran that the external world is bigger than your world. And we know that as students of science. We know that to be a fact, that the external world is bigger than this earth. So if God can well manage the external world, why this small piece here gives him such a problem? So Allah corrects that kind of idea in man with his perfect word, the Quran. It says Allah is enough, God is enough to regulate affairs. He doesn't have to have a son to assist him in the regulation of affairs, but the son needs him. The son of Mary needs him. And as God says, and all of you shall be brought back to God to settle the affairs. And God says in another place, and Jesus will be questioned by God. The superior will question the inferior. And Jesus will testify, no, God, I'm not responsible for that. They did that themselves after me. And in another place, God says, what if he would decide to remove all creatures on the back of the earth? Jesus and his mother and everybody. What God is there to bring them back? He is the one who began creation from nothing. And Jesus and his mother got started from something God had already created. So suppose he would just clear the whole slate. How will they get back without God, without Allah, the one who started it all? Muslims, don't buy the lies of the confused religious world. Keep your head level, sober, be dignified. Be comfortable in the belief that God is one. There is no one with him as an associate or partner or God. Be comfortable in the belief that Muhammad is the last and universal messenger. Be comfortable in the belief that the Muslim is the best community raised up for the good of all people. Be comfortable in the belief that Prophet Muhammad, the peace and the blessing be upon him, he's leader of all the prophets. For he was shown in the ascension, he was shown leading Jesus Christ in prayer. Jesus Christ didn't lead him in prayer, he led Jesus Christ in prayer. Peace be upon the prophet. So let the world be confused, but let us be clear, because the Quran is clear. And the Prophet has given us a clear example, clear demonstration of that religion. So let us be clear. Let them be confused. Let us be clear. And God says also in the same verse where I was reading, says that Jesus Christ never had any problem being a servant of Allah. And when you read even their report, Jesus Christ emphasized that he was not greater than the sender. The sender is greater than the sent. And he emphasized that he was a servant. He emphasized that. And then he prayed to Allah. Now will you take Jesus Christ for a God who prays to my God? He prays to my God. So what does that make you? You praying to a God that prays to my God. That makes you my inferior. Because I'm praying directly to the God that your God prays to. Let the Muslims be clear. Let the world be confused. But let the Muslims be clear. Because we have no excuse to be confused if we read the Quran with the right heart. Praise be to Allah. So to understand Tawheed, unity, and purity in this religion, we have to understand that it begins with this belief that God is only one. No two manifestations, no three, no many manifestations, no plurality of persons, no plurality of essence, one alone. It begins with that. Then God says of the universe, the creation itself, have they not observed that the creation was in unity? And God caused separation? Those with scientific minds and perceptions, when they study the external world, this great vast creation, they see in it a dominating unity. That's what holds everything together. Not diversity. Diversity, differences are not responsible for the universe being in contact, for the universe being a functional whole. What's responsible for the universe being in contact, being a functional whole, is its dominating principle. That's unity. Unity. There's a unifying force, and unifying factor that overrules all differences, all diversity. And that's what accounts for the unity, for the universe being in unity and contact and functioning successfully or functioning properly. If that was destroyed, it wouldn't function properly, as God says in his own word. He said if there had been many gods, they would have created confusion. One's creation would have followed him, and another's creation would have followed him, and there would have been nothing but chaos. That's what God says in his holy book. So let the world be confused, but let the Muslims be clear. There is no excuse for us to be any other except clear. If we approach the Quran with a sober mind and a right heart. So God says, not they observe that this creation was unified and God caused separation. Praise be to Allah. So from unity from unity came what? Diversity. From unity came plurality of things. Not God. God remains unchanged. But his matter accommodates, his creation accommodates differences, diversity. But what does this difference or diversity aim at? What is it aiming at? Unity. From unity, back to unity. And you can observe that reality in from a social standpoint, looking at man's social life and history, from the standpoint of a student of physical science or any other science. You can study the origin and nature of matter and how it multiplies itself and expresses itself in the many forms and many disciplines, and you will see that it's coming from unity and trying to arrive at a greater unity. It comes from unity to arrive at a greater unity. So it only diversifies itself so that it may be a part of a greater unity. So there's no room in reality for the false concept that there is plurality of God. Praise be to Allah. So dear beloved Muslims, again, if the world wants to, let them be confused. But let us remain clear. Lastly, on the concept of oneness, God says, see how God sends water down, one water, the same water, and how it gives. You don't have to be feeling innocent. Your feelings can be guilty. Your feelings can be deceitful. Your feelings can be cruel. We are responsible for our own feelings as well as for our own actions. It is usually the feelings that trigger the actions. So God calls us to the need to be sincere, righteous, pure at heart, intending no wrong. And he calls us to the need to accept responsibility for our own actions and to keep ourselves in a healthy picture. To mold ourselves in the mold of excellence. Keep the heart pure, the faith right, so that the actions will follow. Praise be to Allah. Some of us are trying to control situations outside, beyond our immediate reach. And we have no control right here. How can we control things beyond our immediate reach with hands that are not coordinated, with a mind that's not coordinated, with a heart that's divided, thrown in every direction except the right direction? And we're going to try to manage things a distance from us, say, I will take care of that over there. Start right at home. Start right with yourself. And remember that God wants us to have good intentions. As Prophet Muhammad says, religion is sincerity. And in another place he says, manners in this religion are judged by intention. And he said, whoever has made his migration from Mecca to Medina to get a wife or some worldly thing, then his migration was for that. So actions reflect what? Intent. Actions reflect intent. If you intend the right thing, you will do the right thing. But some people, they have mixed up desires. They want to please Allah in the one quarter and please sin in the other quarter. So their actions come out poignant, not pure. But if you only intend right with your whole heart, as Abraham did, intend right with your whole heart, then your actions will be better. Your actions will be the actions of a good person. You'll occasionally make a mistake, occasionally do a wrong, but your life won't be a pattern of wrongdoing. That's the difference. But until your heart is right, your intent is right, and you have conflict, confusing interest, you're giving yourself to a confusing interest, God in His Quran and His Messenger and His religion says one thing, one give you one idea of life, and you're trying to please something else that says an opposite, give you an opposite, just an opposing idea of life. Then your pattern of your life is going to show that conflict, going to show that confusion. And you won't be identified with the believers and with the righteous. So we pray God grant us the purity of heart, sincerity in the religion, the purity of intention, so we can get the rewards that He intends for us, the rewards of a happy life, peaceful life, and a prosperous life. Because that's the only way it'll come. You may have much of the worldly things and misery, but you can't have much of the worldly things and peace unless you give your heart to God and your life for His pleasure. Then you will have that peace. The prophet said, peace and blessings be on him. Wealth is not in abundance of worldly goods, but in a contented mind. So let us pray. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد أيها المسلمون, with the name Allah, giving all praise to Allah the Lord of all the worlds, and praying His choicest blessings upon Muhammad, the last and universal messenger of God, and the peace, and upon his descendants and his companions, the righteous all. Ameen. And upon us be peace. Dear beloved Muslims, Allah Most High says in His book, the Quran, وَابْتَغِي فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ دَارُ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. God says, and seek by the means He has availed you the hereafter. However, don't neglect your share of the world, the dunya, of the world. Now we know of the teachings of many churches. Most of the churches in my neighborhood as a child and a young man followed this belief, advocated, promoted this idea, and that is that the world is bad, and don't worry about getting the material things, the necessities of life. Leave that to the sinner, and let the righteous people be content to have their soul and not the world. They made us believe that you can't keep your soul and have the world too. God says here, do something always in advance for your soul. But now don't neglect your share of the world. You know that the Quran, the Word of God, puts more importance on the end goal, the end object, than it does on the immediate, the here and now. But at the same time, God's Word cautions us against becoming so involved in pursuit of the hereafter that we neglect our share of this present world. Now, when God says, Nasibaka means simply share. There's no spooky thing about this. It's just plain share. When God says your share, understand this, that he doesn't mean just that this man, he's entitled to a home, he's entitled to a little piece of land and a house for himself and his family. This white man's entitled, or the red man, or the yellow man is entitled to a share in business, or a share in industry, or a share in politics, a share in the run of the government, the decisions that the government makes. I am too. Yes, I am. But God is saying more than that. God is saying more than that. You're not only entitled to these things, you're responsible for those things. Your share is also responsibility for your house, responsibility for your land, responsibility for the power or the trust that is given to you, whether it be in the private world, the private life, or the government life. So let's not get confused and think God is opening the door to us to get material things, or making acceptable the material things. With that comes also responsibility. For the proper charge, for the proper discharge of your responsibility or discharge of your duty, for the proper behavior, for the proper conduct when you step into those positions. And I repeat the words of the prophet. He says, wealth is not an abundance of worldly goods, but in a contented mind. So while God invites us to get our share of this material world, we have to also be aware that these things by themselves do not, will not, account for happiness. Happiness only comes when there's a proper disposition in the creature. In respect to first his God and his obligation in the world, as decided by his God. The prophet says, peace and the blessing be on him, whoever desires the world and its riches in a lawful manner, in order to help keep away from begging. Isn't this wonderful? Don't we African Americans, we black people, need this teaching? Whoever desires, every man needs it, but I think we have more in need right now. Whoever desires the world and its riches in a lawful manner, in order to keep away from begging, and to have the means with which to provide family needs and kindness to neighbors, will come to Allah with a face brightened as a full moon on the 14th night. How wonderful the words of the prophet. So here the prophet has set conditions for the person who seeks the material means. The condition being, as God has also set with his word, the prophet explains these things and gives them to us so that we can better understand and better live our religion. He is the example. He is the one to demonstrate it to us. Now, the prophet has set with his word, he has set conditions. That if a Muslim seeks the material things or the worldly means, then the Muslim should be first obligated to do only what is lawful. And the Muslim should again be obligated to share, to save the society from being a burden unnecessarily with him. So he shouldn't be trying to accumulate wealth for status, not for status. Status or status, I don't know what is there, how you pronounce it in this region. He should be doing it to relieve society of the burden upon him unnecessarily. If society carry him, it should be of necessity. He should be insane. He should be handicapped. He should be too young. He should be too old. But not a healthy buck in his prime. Then he should be one who has a heart for others in need. He should not seek it just for his own situation, but his family. Allah says in the Quran that he has given priority to family obligation. That's what God says. He has given priority to family obligation. Isn't that what the Bible says? Charity starts at home and then goes outside. Yeah, it says that. Yes. But God says he has given priority to family obligation. And the prophet says the one who seeks to improve the material means for himself, then he should also be aware of his obligation to his family. And he should be doing that in the interest of improving the situation for his family. And he says also kindness to the neighbor. Kindness to the neighbor. Before going out to establish yourself materially, you should be one who shares the concerns of your family and also your neighbor, according to the words of the prophet. All right? Because if you're one who doesn't share the concerns of your neighbor, then you will establish your family, become a detriment to your neighbor, an oppressive thing in your own neighborhood, means of holding your own neighbor back, because when you're selfish like that, you will try to undermine the efforts of your neighbor. You will try to block the way, hinder your neighbor's progress. Discourage your neighbor. Say something to him to kill the spirit.
That's right.
People are doing that all the time, aren't they?
Yeah.
You tell your friends, hey, I'm going into business. They run away and try to kill your spirit.
Right.
The wrong type.
Yeah.
The right type will run away and encourage you.
Yeah.
Say, hey, man, good news, man. And he says, one doing that will come to God, will come to Allah with a face brightened as a full moon on the 14th night. Now we know the moon begins growing from the first of the month, the Islamic calendar month. And it gets full halfway the month, and then it wanes until it goes to die away, and dawn again, comes back again, appears as a new moon for a new month. So the prophet is saying, if you do this, you'll be halfway through the month. That means you'll be past the 5 day notice. So that usually comes during the first 3 or 4 days of the month, right? The prophet says again, wealth and property is a blessing. Some people in religion make you think it's a curse, don't they? Make you afraid. Hey, you'll risk your soul. Stay away from it. But the prophet says, wealth and property is a blessing. So endeavor to increase it. You know that's the key. That's the key. Endeavor to increase it. The businessman in the community, the entrepreneur, the beginner, who's going to be a businessman,
right,
or businesswoman, understand that there is a need to increase wealth. To increase wealth. The prophet says wealth and property is a blessing. So endeavor to increase it by honest means. The principle or the discipline and the principle that a man accepts to work for increase in wealth is what will sustain him as a businessman or sustain her as a businesswoman. But if you go into business with a small mind, I'm going into business so I can have fun. You'll defeat it before you get into it. The record shows that most of those businesses fall up within the first few weeks. The businesses that stay, they are like Long Rangers. Long range. He ain't got no short range view on nothing. He's a long range. And he takes care of crime and werewolves. Crime and deformed creatures. Perverted creatures, huh? The long range. I know as a boy you saw a long range like I did. The friend, they call him the friend. He was that masked man. Well, that's a friend, buddy. And believe me, Allah is the friend. And Muhammad is the friend. The Quran is the friend. And they're all long rangers. No short vision. No, the vision in Quran is the long vision. The vision in Muhammad is the long vision. Not for this little quick thing. They give me a quickie. Say, hey, I'm going to go into business. May I have a quickie? God says, you are the best. Khaira ummatan. You are the best community. And then the prophet says what? خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ يَنْعُ النَّاسِ. The best of you is the one who is most useful to humanity. And God says he has raised you up, or brought you out for the good of all people. And the prophet again says, every good doing is a charity. Every good doing is a charity. How wonderful it is. Every good doing is a charity. Now, here is the answer for the poor man. I'm a poor man, buddy, ma'am. Don't tell me about helping humanity. I can't even pay my bills. I can't give my wife a decent, comfortable living. I can't give my children anything. I'm without a job. I'm on welfare. I'm a poor man. I have nothing, ma'am. So how can you tell me to assist humanity? Prophet Muhammad says, removing the hindrance in the road so that the next person is not bothered by it, is a terrorist. Prophet Muhammad says, giving a kind word to your fellow Muslim is a charity. Prophet Muhammad says, approaching another person with a pleasant face is a charity. Prophet Muhammad says, every good doing is a charity. See how you can help humanity? And maybe in our poverty, if we will do these things, if we will use the resources that we have within our reach to help humanity, maybe God then will change our state and bring us among the successful entrepreneurs. And don't tell me if there's any one of us that's not looking for riches. The experience of slavery and struggling to get equal with the white man has really driven us mad. Never saw so many people that want to be rich in my life. Not in one area, not in one race. Good God Almighty, somebody had to have a little small means. Everybody want it all. Now, with God's help, we're going to sober up our minds, come to the medicine. The Quran is the medicine that will cure us. Come to the doctor's medicine, the Quran, and accept this prophet, the model of human excellence, Muhammad, peace and the blessing be on him. So we pray, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد.
You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role.
You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear brothers and sisters, we're going to have to ask your patience again next week. Imam Darnell has some very pressing family matters that he had to attend to. And so we won't be able to continue our interviews today. But, you know, everything is inshallah, mashallah, right? So inshallah, next week we will follow up Imam Muhammad's lecture with a conversation with our brother Imam. Now, you still have the opportunity to get your copy of the book, so then you'll be able to follow up on it. Maybe if it can reach you before next week. It's not a promise from me. That's only a possibility, that because he's doing it on his own. So, in any case, let me go ahead and give you a number so you can reach out and make those arrangements if you like. 708-261-4091. 708-261-4091. 708-261-4091. That's the phone. And also, DKLINCORP, that's DK Link Corp, DKLINCORP at AOL.com, and you can get your copy of the book by reaching out to him at that number and at that email address. So, inshallah, order the book anyway. Doesn't matter. Order the book anyway. Inshallah, when you get it, you can be right there with us. But beyond that, inshallah, next week we will have that continuing interview. God's peace be on you. Have a wonderful day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Got to remake yourself. Ah, that you, yeah. Got to.